Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news.
Can one of the interns bring Uncle Charlotte some water? I'm a little parched this morning.
Because you ran up here acting like 21 Savage.
Who is that downstairs listening to?
Never.
Artists on the street.
All right, well, let's get in some front page news. Let's start off in sports. And Monday Night Football, the Patriots beat the Ravens 30-23. Also, the LA Rams fire head coach Jeff Fisher after his fourth season with
the
team.
That's crazy. They just gave him a 2-year contract extension. So basically, they paid him to fire him.
Pretty much. Let's talk about Donald Trump. He picked the Secretary of State?
Yes, it turns out Donald Trump has picked ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson to be Secretary of State. Now, what they are saying is this could possibly upset members of his own party in the Senate. His name has emerged as a candidate for that post, and leading Republicans have said that his years of work in Russia and the Middle East is perhaps not the best idea because he has ties there. Also, he has no experience with this business in this world, but they feel like his experience in the business world will help him in that post.
Nobody got time for experience.
Nobody.
When you run in a country, okay?
Does anybody have experience on this cabinet?
They are CEOs of different organizations, but a lot of them.
Trump's just changing his shit up, huh? He's just like, I'm going to change everything up.
In government.
Listen, we live in a post-factual society. Okay, facts don't matter anymore, and you don't need experience to do things like run countries, okay? Let's go. 2017, here we come, damn it. All right?
Now let's talk about this Texas lawsuit, Yee.
Well, okay, so there is a new law that was passed in Texas, and these new regulations that the Texas Department of State Health Services approved is going to take place December 19th. That's when it's scheduled to take place. And this requires that women have to bury or cremate embryonic and fetal tissue from abortions, miscarriages, or ectopic pregnancy surgery, even if the woman doesn't want you to. So that means that health clinics have to bury or cremate if you have an abortion, you know, that fetal tissue from the abortion. Now, according to the lawsuit against this rule that's going to take place December 19th, they feel like this just adds to the shame and stigma about abortion, and it's unnecessary, and all it does is put more of a burden on a woman.
Why do they keep trying to tell women what to do with their bodies? Mm-hmm. Like, if a woman wants to have an abortion,
really,
shouldn't it be her decision?
I agree.
Any benefit? I don't understand the point of that.
Like, yeah, what's the point of controlling somebody's uterus?
Or requiring that they have to bury it and cremate it.
No, that sounds stupid.
The only person, the only abortions I care about are the ones I've had to pay for in my life. It's been two.
All
yes,
right.
Two.
A little TMI.
No, it's not. Listen, let me tell you something. You know, we're here at the Breakfast Club. We like to keep people involved with our process. Everybody knows that we have a new production team. Q is leaving us to go open up a Chick-fil-A.
Right.
And we have a new producer named Eddie. And now they see MEZ running the boards.
Right.
So these are the tweets this morning. Marcus E. Sullivan, did Eddie not make the team? Ernest Jr., y'all fired the board up with the big eyes already? No, Eddie's here. He's floating around. I mean, he's a board op. Eddie's a producer.
Where is Eddie? Shouldn't he be in here?
Hey, I don't know. And don't we have somebody else?
Danny.
Danny's a real, real behind-the-scenes guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, not a stitch of vagina in sight. I don't know what the hell is going on here.
Oh, we have a Taylor.
Jesus Christ, man. I can't work with all these pieces around me.
All right. All right, well, that's front page news. Now, tell them why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us right now. Maybe you had a bad morning or a bad night. Maybe you're still sick, your Cowboys lost. Whatever it may be, 800-585-1051. Phone lines are wide open.
Ain't nothing to interns there?
Tell them why you're mad.
Uncle Charlotte needs some water, man.
You all right?
Well, get
over
him and
there,
get
man?
It.
No. People got dudes.
Who are you?
Okay. My goodness. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, yo, this is DMX. And you know what makes me mad? When ask for the truth, but can't handle the truth. All right? Now tell them why you mad on The Breakfast Club, bitches.
This is Daryl.
Daryl, tell them why you mad, bro.
You got another brother named Daryl? Another brother named Daryl?
Yeah, check it out. I'm not mad. DJ Envy.
What's up, bro?
I appreciate your Giants. I'm a Cowboy fan. Charlamagne, don't say nothing yet.
Okay.
But I appreciate them, but you got to look at it like this.
Oh, boy.
Our
here
first
you go.
Loss was to the Giants.
Right.
And then we went on a game winning streak. I'm with you, bro.
Hold on. Yeah, we got that winning streak. Now, we lost again.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing that happened, Super Bowl win.
All we need to do is go on a 6-game winning streak and win the Super Bowl.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No. We're winning it. We got this.
Try to put it in the atmosphere.
Right,
go ahead, man.
Stay focused, my brother. We're going to rub Ezekiel Elliott's navel and make a wish, and that wish is for us to win the Super Bowl this year.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, It's Devin from Ohio.
Hey, Devin, tell him why you're mad.
I'm mad at my brakes not this morning, so I had to use my handbrake on the way to work.
You got a handbrake on your car?
Yeah.
Stick what? Shift. You got a stick shift?
Oh. No, my brakes went out this morning driving to work, so I had to use my handbrake the whole way to work.
Oh, you got the pull brake. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You better get that fixed, bro. That's not safe.
Would you rather? You rather be giving yourself a hand job on the way to work?
I don't know. Maybe. Depends.
Okay. Hey, now.
A little kinky. Okay. Hello, who's this?
Hey, what's up? My name is James.
Hey, James.
Hey, James.
How are you mad, James?
First of all,
uh-oh,
I'm a fan of y'all's show, and I've been a fan of y'all since the MySpace days. Y'all make my morning every day.
How many days? And
not since the MySpace.
Since the MySpace days.
We weren't using MySpace
up here.
Yeah,
we had no Breakfast Club. Ain't starting the MySpace there.
He wasn't still using MySpace. I don't know that, but that's just early. Hello?
Yeah, yes. We got your joke. Go ahead.
And I want to thank God for letting me see another birthday today, man.
Happy birthday, bro.
How old are you, my brother?
I'm 2 years older than you, and I'm 1 year younger than Envy.
Okay.
So do the math on that. But I thank y'all. No. Go down.
I don't know. I can't do math.
That Wikipedia be lying, but enjoy your day, bro.
Thank you, man. I appreciate y'all, man.
Enjoy your life, brother.
Hello, who's this?
People get to that age where ain't nobody got no jersey number. They feel embarrassed.
We said what?
Hello.
Yeah,
this is Sweet Willie.
Hey, SDW.
All right, Sweet.
Talk to SDW. Don't discriminate against that man. You homophobe.
Right. Hey, I'm 75 years old, Charlamagne. I still whoop your ass like a young boy. Okay?
There you go. But do your penis get hard? You can't have a name there like SD Willie and your penis don't get hard.
Man, Sweet Willie got a 29-year-old girl that's pregnant right now for him.
There you go.
It's okay. Not by you, I promise.
You'll be dead by the time that boy get to kindergarten.
Hello, who's this? Right.
Hello?
Hey, tell him why you mad.
Man, I'm mad because I'm putting in all this work. I'm grinding. I'm doing all these showcases.
Oh, Lord
but
have mercy.
I'm winning the showcases, but they still not giving me no real recognition, man.
Man, put some rubbing alcohol on your razor bumps, man.
Right, what's your name, man?
My name is Dante Brown.
That's your rap name?
Dante Brown. Let's hear something.
Nah, my rap name is Nino ASB. That stands for Always Stay Blessed.
Okay, let's hear something. Always Stay Blessed.
Always Stay Bumpy.
We're ready.
I got you.
Oh, my God. Would you get to
shooters.
It?
Y'all ready?
Yeah.
All right, I got shooters on my life, always on call. I know fiends on my life, always on roll. No,
hey, put rubbing alcohol on your razor bumps. If that don't work, try
Witch
Hazel.
You didn't even let her get out two lines.
Try Witch Hazel.
Okay. All right. Tell them why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you can call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
He better call Becky with the good help.
That was Beyonce, Sorry. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, we have two young ladies joining us today.
Yeah, Jamela Lemieux. Jamela Lemieux is the vice president of news and men's programming for Interactive One.
We saw you guys had a back and forth on Twitter.
Getting at you.
I mean, I've always known Jamela. I had Jamela on my show, Uncommon Sense, on MTV2.
But she was disappointed in some things.
She was. I mean, that's what the community is for. The community is for when somebody disappoints you in some way, shape, or form, or you have a disagreement, you can be able to reach out and discuss that disagreement.
And Amber J. Phillips.
Amber J. Phillips, she's a black feminist. She has a podcast called The Black Joy Mixtape.
Okay.
Yeah, she's another young lady who I've had discourse with over the past couple of weeks. But it's funny, Jamela Ben wanted to come to The Breakfast Club. About 2 weeks ago, she hit me up because she had a... She took some issue with something that Nick Cannon said.
Right.
I guess Jamila's, big on
pro-choice.
Yeah, Planned Parenthood. Yeah, so she had some things she wanted to say about that, but, our producer Q, he's kind of checked out mentally, so he wasn't getting back to her. He just... some people Q responds to, some people he doesn't at this point in the game.
The problem is that Charlamagne tells everybody to email Q whether
that's
or not
job.
He wants to do the interview, and he can't sift through what you really want to do.
It's Q's job!
But you got to be like, hey, we
got to... Yeah, gotta, tell Q, hey, Q, yeah. So
because a lot of times you pass things on that we're never going to do.
Q knows. If I tell a person, hit Q and say, Charlamagne said...
You tell everyone that.
No, I don't. Some people like to say, hit Q.
And then
when
they'll
I say
hit him
Q,
and say, Charlamagne
well,
said.
Now everybody
they'll
knows.
Still say, Charlamagne said.
Yeah, now everybody's going to hit and say, Charlamagne said. Good
well,
job.
Y'all going to be lost for about 2 months because I don't know who we going to hit.
Yeah, it doesn't
once
work
Q lived this week.
Now we got rumors on the way. What are we talking about in the rumors?
Well, let's talk about two women who were arguing on Twitter yesterday, going at each other. We'll tell you what rapper is allegedly in trouble for some back child support and how he responded to these allegations.
Okay, we'll get into all that and more. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne Tha God, Angela Yee. There go, Envy. Put some rubbing alcohol on your razor bumps this morning, damn it.
What's wrong with you, man?
I'm just looking out for all the brothers out there with razor bumps. Nobody ever salutes them. Salute to those brothers. Everybody with ingrown heads, put some witch hazel on them things.
All right.
Or you could use 10 skin, right?
There you go. That's old school. 10 skin.
10 skin.
Yes, sir. Well, women use that too for when they get...
Really?
Yeah, for when they get wet.
When their vaginas be bumpy.
Well, no, you put it on so it doesn't get that way. So you don't get ingrown hairs.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's get to the rumors.
Preventative measures.
Rick Ross.
It's about time.
What's going on?
Yo. Rumor report. Rumor report. This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
But according to Rick Ross, he thinks that Kanye is faking his mental illness.
That.
Here's what he said.
One time for Yeezy. My homie the genius. And for everybody who thought he was wigging out, he played y'all.
Duh. Like, I mean, I've been saying that on the radio for how long now?
He do look snitching? A little crazy, though. He do look
a
little crazy.
Well, hold on now. Kanye did come to New York yesterday.
Looking like K-Town.
And he's trying according to TMZ, he's here to look for a psychiatrist. Right now, he's been interviewing psychiatrists, and he needs some for when he's on the East Coast. They're going to join his treatment team. They've been providing extensive around-the-clock care.
You don't have to look for no psychiatrist, Kanye. Looking for a psychiatrist in New York is like saying, I found God. All right.
Now, the doctors have to make sure that he takes his meds. Apparently, he's on medication, and he wasn't taking it.
Well, that hair dye ain't going to help nothing.
Right.
Go right to your brain, ruin you.
And they also want to make sure that he doesn't get too stressed out because stress is a major trigger for him. So.
He needs friends around him because he look crazy. He needs some friends around him. He needs some people around him. He needs some loved ones around him.
He don't look crazy. He's mentally ill. He's going through something.
Y'all need to stop, stop, stop.
What do you mean?
It's not funny.
That's what I'm saying. He needs some people. He needs some family around him.
He's mentally ill. He's going through something.
The couple of pictures I've seen, he was by himself. He needs some family around him.
I hope he does get the help that he needs and that he's feeling better and that his team gets put together so he doesn't have to go through this anymore. He takes his medication, whatever it is that he needs to do to feel okay.
Drop one of the clues bombs for K-Town. Can't believe Kanye West just took A-Town's whole swag.
Oh, stop it.
A-Town appropriation.
Now, according to reports, Joel Santana has not been paying his child support. They're saying that he owes almost $30,000 to his child's mother for their 13-year-old son. He had to pay $1,800 a month back in 2013, but as we can see, he's fallen a little bit behind on those payments. Now, he did take to Twitter to say that there's two sides to every story, so I don't know what's going on with that, but apparently he has his own side that he needs to tell.
Well, he got checks about to come through, like the Mona Scott Young loving hip-hop machine, right?
They've been doing idol. I don't think he's struggling for $30,000. I think he got it.
Yeah, I'm
that
sure.
That mean
is.
You want to give it to something like your kid.
There was some beef on Twitter between Megan James from the Bad Girls Club and Keke Palmer. Now, apparently, Keke Palmer was watching old seasons of the Bad Girls Club, and somebody asked her who her favorite cast member was. Well, Keke tried to answer. She said, Ashley, really. Megan just too corny. Her and Julie, to me, are so weak. Well, that didn't go over too well because these are actually real characters. These are not just actors playing characters. So Megan James saw that and responded, you sound like a hater. Just saying. Keke said, I'm so happy to be in the space in my life where I can accept that other people are going to always have their feelings about me. Megan James said, you would think that A-list celebs like Miss Keke would not have time, the strenuous days of reading scripts to even watch Bad Girls Club, on the gram looking like a fake Angela Bassett from 1993 waiting to exhale.
She did a little Angela Bassett-ish.
And then she said, unfortunately, I don't have time right now to get into hair and makeup and put on my flyest Great Gatsby-themed dress to shade a stranger. Kudos on being a talented actress, and that's what you're doing now, acting. You got real talent, B, but you're still ugly. Hashtag end scene. And then Keke Palmer said, lessons from Keke. Drag people while promoting your brand. Holla at me. And she also posted this video.
This World Star Classic is trying to go off on me. But the gag is, I like him overweight, bipolar, insecure, and insufferable. Holla at me, bitch.
Is she making fun of mental illness? By the way, I don't know anything about this Bad Girls Club, bitch. Okay, but I do know.
She gotta be a bitch.
Keke called her a bitch, so I'm just following suit.
No, okay? You don't do
I'm just
that.
Following what Keke
you
said.
You don't do that.
Keke called her a bitch, so I'm just following
you know
Keke.
What? You don't do now, that.
That's why we got Amber Phillips and Jamila Lemieux coming later for
listen,
your ass.
I don't know anything about this Bad Girls Club woman, they but know. I do know that they're calling a girl 1993 Angela Bassett from Waiting as Hell is not an insult, okay?
Nah, just
not even a little bit.
She was popping.
Angela Bassett
is fly.
That's
Megan James right there. If you have Revolt TV, you can see.
I have no clue.
who she is.
She looked like she had about 6 abortions. Just 6.
What? Why would you say that? From looking at a picture of somebody?
Yes.
You would just pass that judgment?
Yes.
How could you tell?
You can just tell. You can look at her jawline.
You know what?
How you look at her jawline?
I'm not with you today.
All right, man. And Lamar Odom has checked himself back into rehab.
Okay, drop on the clues bombs, baby. That's what you do right before Christmas.
He's been there for 5 days now. He's going to remain there for an extended stay.
All right, Lamar. There you go. What are you there for?
I'm sure drugs.
Man, check it after the new year. You want to get high over the holidays.
He's been
seen
drinking at bars, and despite his addictions, he's still going. So
it's a festive time.
Now he has checked himself in.
You're supposed to get help after the new year because you're going to celebrate around Christmas. You're going to celebrate around New Year's Eve. You're going to be drinking. You're going to be doing your drugs. New year, new me.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your Rumor Report.
Get help as soon as you need it. Well, thank you, Miss Yee. All right, when we come back, we have Amber Phillips and Jamila Lemieux joining us.
Yes, Jamila Lemieux is, let me get her title right.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get Jamila's title right. Hold on. Hold on 1 second. She is the Vice President of News and Men's Programming for Interactive One. And young Amber has a podcast called The Black Joy Mixtape. And she's a black feminist. You've probably seen her on like Roland Martin's show. Things of that nature.
All right, so we're going to talk to both of them when we come back, all right? They're pissed off at Charlamagne for some comments he said.
We're all a community, and, you know, when somebody in the community says something that somebody doesn't agree with, we have community conversations, and that's what this is, okay?
All right, well, let's have this conversation when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Black Beatles. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got some special guests in the building from the fake HU, Howard University. Jamila Lemieux.
Good morning.
And Amber Phillips.
And Amber Phillips. I don't know what school you went to, Amber.
I went to a small women's college in Pittsburgh called Chatham.
All right, we let you slide.
The real Chatham.
Good morning, ladies.
The real Chatham.
Good morning.
Now, I didn't know you were going to bring Amber, Jamila. I've been talking to Amber in my DMs.
Yes.
Not like that, but you know.
Wow.
Yeah. You say you bring any black woman you want. I said, I'm bringing Amber.
Absolutely.
And it took some real controversy for Jamila to get up here, Jamila and Amber. That was when Charlamagne was pictured with Tommy Lahren.
Mm-hmm.
There was some laughing emoji saying, I don't see color, do you?
Mm-hmm. So Jamila, you were pissed though. Why were you
upset? Jamila, tell us why that struck a chord in you, because it struck a chord in me too when I first saw it.
If George W. Bush gave us one good thing in his whole presidency, it was we don't negotiate with terrorists. When you take somebody who has said things about our people mm-hmm. that are so racist, that are so hateful, that are so lacking in value, we don't need to sit with somebody like that to understand why she feels the way she does or where she's coming from. And if we do, it's not on a platform where we're laughing and joking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because the things that she says, she's not coming up with them on her own. She's not the architect. She's not the head of any of this. But she is making this very dangerous rhetoric normal and comfortable, right? So she's a cute girl. She looks like any other little blonde 20-something you could follow on Instagram. So her saying that goes further with young folks, particularly young white kids, than it does coming from an Ann Coulter or a Donald Trump. She's making it cool. She's making it sexy. When you give her a platform and joke around and pal around with her as if she's anybody else you have a disagreement with, that legitimizes her in ways that I don't think we should. And what we were all so upset with you about, so much of what she said, and people like her, was about black men.
Mm-hmm.
You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? Like the idea that black men are inherently criminal. And so when black women got mad, it wasn't like, oh, F Charlamagne, to hell with him, blah, blah, blah. It's like,
it was a lot of that too.
It was a lot of that, but it's coming from a place of we're defending you. When somebody's comparing the Black Lives Matter movement to the Ku Klux Klan, that's putting us in danger, but that's putting you in danger too. We're standing up for you. We're saying, look, we love our men. We don't want you all to be brutalized by the police. This is somebody who's made light of young men and women, of course, but particularly young men being killed by the police or harassed by the police and stopped and frisked. And when you joke around with that and say, ha ha, we can kiki and make little black penis matter jokes and all that stuff, it's hurtful mm-hmm. to people who are literally putting their lives on the line. I'm a journalist. I'm a writer. She's an activist. Mm-hmm. There are people who are spending, and they're not famous, and you don't see them on CNN or MSNBC. They're mm-hmm. spending nights, weeks in jail. They're losing their jobs. They're dropping out of school.
And it's not that they're not out there at all. The assumption that, well, why isn't there any woke black or Hispanic right. woman, but they are out there.
But that's not what I said, though. But I do feel like we should poke holes in her narrative any chance we get, because she does have the voice of young people. She's going to be a voice for the conservative right for the next 4 years.
But I think she means not in a joking manner.
Right.
Like, it's not a post.
Well, I'm not an activist. I'm a guy that can go from serious, I can go from righteous to ratchet real quick.
Right. I think, so coming from my perspective, I'm also known as the high priestess of Black joy on our podcast called the Black Joy Mixtape. And
there
I think
go,
there's
Emma.
A way.
Plug your platform.
There you go.
There it is. There's a way to do both, right? I think there's this assumption around, that's why I'm so thrilled to be here. There's assumption around Black feminists that we're just sitting in our rooms, reading Audre Lorde, being so serious all the time. But we listen to you, right? Like, we were laughing just, we've used Are You Done or Are You Finished several times
right.
in our own organizing spaces. That's why we talk about Black joy a lot, because there's room to joke with it, but there's also room to make sure that she doesn't leave your platform feeling more confident than before. She went back on her platforms and said all these terrible things about Trevor Noah, saying that he basically wasn't Black enough. She made comments around you, and I think she clearly didn't learn anything from being here.
But all I'm saying is the conversation that we had was me sitting there explaining to her why her rhetoric is dangerous to Black people, especially Black men. Like, we had these, it's not even the first time I've had this conversation with her. I had this conversation with her back in February in a public platform when I was on her show on the Blaze Network. And then when I saw what she said on Trevor Noah, I'm like, yo, she still doesn't get it. So since she's not coming to the Breakfast Club, let's sit down and have a conversation so I can explain to her why her rhetoric is so dangerous.
But what does it mean to offer her friendship outside of holding her accountable? A big piece in the movement that we talk about is, like, we're family, we're this, but in order to be family, you have to struggle together.
And honestly, there are just people with whom you can't reason. You know what I mean? I think it's the moderates that we might be able to have some success with, mm-hmm. because they didn't show up by the droves to protect us from Donald Trump.
Right.
You know, a whole lot of white mm-hmm. voters stayed home. And I don't think she can be reached in a fun, cool hip-hop space. I don't think she can be reached by Trevor Noah, who's very conciliatory, and all we have to do is listen to each other. But what your audience needs, I think, is for you all to just really understand the power that you all have in radio. People come here to talk to millennials. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to talk to millennials about? And for years, Charlamagne, I felt like on the various shows that you've done, a lot of people are like, I can't believe you like him. You know, he's problematic. He's this. I'm like, he's complicated like a lot of people. But I've heard you so many times be the voice of reason, particularly around issues of race. That's why I was so personally hurt that this was the person that you wanted to joke around with.
Mm-hmm. And her platform is really based on hate and ignorance.
All of it.
And people that believe those things feel like she's their spokesperson.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if she doesn't have that, she doesn't have that platform anymore.
But she already has a platform. And that's why I made the comment I made, which was not meant to be offensive in any way, shape, or form, or discredit any Black woman or Hispanic woman. I just feel like we need an online news network with news pundits that can combat that young voice that's going to be coming from the conservative right for the next 4 years.
And I think that we have that. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't, like, we don't get boosted up in the way that she does because we don't represent what she does. And in our community, we don't have the money and resources. But, like, look at me. I started my career with a blog.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 32 years old. I'm a media executive. Right. Like, I'm in a position to hire other people, to hire editors, to assign work. And we have big plans for next year at Interactive One. You look at Crystal's.
Absolutely.
Right. You look at Francesca. Like, you look at Ollie. Look at Amber. We are building platforms. Now, again, we're not going to get put on a Blaze. We're not getting shows on MSNBC like we were a few years ago. So what we need now more than ever is not to bolster somebody like her up by giving her access to your space, but to bolster somebody like Amber up. Right. So right now, maybe it's like, look, once a week, we're going to do a 15-minute Black Lives Matter. Just check in. We're going to talk to an activist. We're going to talk to a journalist and just kind of talk about what's going on in the world. You have.
We've been doing that for the past 6 years.
You have. But I think it's like making it a concern. Like, this is a thing that we're calling it what it is. And we're saying every Thursday, this is your Black Lives, you know, whatever. Check in.
Trust Black women.
Trust Black women.
And my thing is, like, I totally apologize. I didn't look at Crystal in that way. Or Francesca in that way. Like, I'm thinking news pundit. But in a way, they are.
They absolutely
news
are.
Pundits.
They
so
are.
How do we help them amplify their voices?
You know, like, allowing, like, when you had me on your MTV show, it was something terrible that happened. Somebody had gotten killed. I was kind of brought in to be the voice of reason. No, not to tell jokes. And I tell jokes and stuff, too. I'm ratchet. I, you know, like.
Went to Howard.
You know, like, I'm
we
a regular
see you
girl.
When you get dressed up.
You know, like, I came into my tents, but, like, I want you all, like, I think, like Amber was saying, this assumption that, you know, we're all just so angry all the time and we're mad. It's like, yeah, we're angry in the way that everybody in this room is angry, because there are things that are happening in the world that are bad and scary. But we're also regular girls, you know, and folks that listen to hip hop and listen to you all who deserve to be heard. And I just think that, like, I feel for Angela sometimes. I'm like, just being the only woman in the room, period, is always hard. Mm-hmm. But with something like that, knowing that other black women were hurt and offended by something that you did quite innocently. And honestly, I don't think you go out of your way to say things to hurt black women, to get outrage. But when you do it, it's just how you receive what we say. So I appreciate you having us here today.
Right. All right, well, we have more with Jamila Lemieux and Amber Phillips when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Drake, One Dance. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Jamila Lemieux and Amber Phillips in the building. Now, how did you feel when Charlamagne gave himself Donkey of the Day?
I appreciated it. I think there was a little bit of, you know, I was wrong, but.
The but was, I was actually trying to empower us. Like, I was saying, let's create a platform with young black Hispanic women to be a voice like Tommy Lauren.
I think we
but don't even bring her name up.
But think about how she became a voice. It's like
Facebook. Do y'all realize how much power y'all have on social media, though? Yes. Even when y'all talk about, like, Tommy used Facebook to get popping. Nobody watches The Blaze. She took her little clips, put them on Facebook, they got popping. Y'all make things trend in moments.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I've been trending for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I never was number one on Facebook. All the interviews I've done, TV I've done, never until black women collectively came together and said, we're going to try to get him up out of the paint. So y'all do that with Insecure on Sundays, number one trending. Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder. Y'all can do that for your
own
platforms.
And it's turning into opportunities. Look at Lovey, and I think you all had a back and forth about the word females, right? She's a New York Times best-selling author now. You know, she started a blog. She was funny. She's a social media strategist. She tweeted about Scandal. I feel like Lovey's like half the reason Scandal blew all the way up.
I hit her book in my house, too. I'm not going to lie to you. My wife bought her book, and I hit it. I'm not going to lie to you.
I think you should have her on your show and talk to her. You know what I mean? Because if you will talk to somebody like Tommy, talk to your sister. Even when you make us mad, when we make you mad, we need to be able to talk to each other, because no matter how deep our differences are, we're family. She's not your family.
Do you get a lot of support from our community?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. And black men. Black men love me.
Black men can do better, especially on social media. And I think that's a thing that I've seen, even doing shows and speaking out against the whole Birth of a Nation and Nate Parker. A lot of the pushback I receive from that is from black men. Like, I heard you talking with Trevor Noah about your privilege of being a male and just being aware of that recently. Mm-hmm. That there's still, you have to know that there's still more to do around that. That a lot of the things that black men say to black women and a lot of y'all's rhetoric around us can ultimately get us hurt, can get us killed in our interpersonal relationships.
You gotta blame black West women Coast
under,
rap for that.
Yeah, black women no, under 50, like, black men are our number two cause of death. And that comes from rhetoric.
For black women. The number two cause of death for black women is black men.
Now, you mentioned Birth of a Nation.
Hold on, where's that stat from? I got to look that one up.
Look that one up. Go search it. So we have to do the culture shift work of educating black men, even from little things like we don't want to be called female. What does it mean to be like, okay, they don't want to be called female, let's call them women. Right. Because we need you all to put as much humanity on us as possible.
I think it's the approach, too, though, because when I said the whole female thing, that was another thing. I've been using female my whole life.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's like, you stupid mother... You disrespectful
ass,
you don't know.
But you know, you gotta realize this. And not everybody, I can talk to people in this voice, and we can have a dialogue and be respectful, and I can try to educate you about some things, and you can tell me some things that I may not know about how black men think and feel, and we can have that dialogue. Sometimes when you encounter black women online, on the street, we're pissed off. We're upset. And we're tired of feeling like we're not being heard. Mm-hmm. We're tired of feeling like we're not being respected. And so it's kind of like, well, why does she come at me that hard? Why is she being so aggressive, so angry? Because we're dealing with a lot, and we don't always feel loved and supported by men who look like us in the way that we deserve to be. You know what I mean? Like, we always talked about black men and boys being in danger at the police and the classrooms. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about the fact that black women are going through so many of those same things. That school-to-prison pipeline that is harming black boys is harming black girls.
Absolutely. The numbers are literally the same.
The numbers are the same.
And you have the body shaming on top of that. You have kids who, once black girls start wearing leggings, now the leggings can't be worn in school,
right,
because we are developed quicker than folks. And it's just, we need to normalize that actually it's not on these girls to correct the ills of this society, right? Like, men have to take some accountability too.
And just, I agree with everything you're saying.
One real quick thing. The first thing you said about, like, more black women, you know, what if you all did what she did, right? I looked at your mentions. Anything you say, there's scores of young men, particularly black and brown, and some of them white, saying, yes, sir, get them. No matter what you say the sky is purple, mm-hmm. It's going to be some young dude like, tell him, Charlamagne. So just thinking about that influence you have over how young men see us,
mm-hmm.
That's important. And we need you to be a voice for us, because we are a voice for you and we support you.
But I just recognize y'all power. Like, y'all could trump her easily because of the power y'all have on social media. I feel like social media is the engine. We just have to create a car. I think we do have to create an online news network and say, yes, Jamila is a news pundit now. Crystal is a news pundit now. Francesca is a news pundit now. I really think we need that.
I mean, and I run one of the sites I am in charge of is news1.com. We're building out a big news site. Like, I'm on that. But I think it's really important that you understand we're your family. Just going forward, and how you talk to female celebrities and how you respond when male celebrities come in here and say certain things about women. Understand that black women live and die for our men. Literally.
Absolutely.
And we deserve that in response.
Where did this narrative that black men treat white women better than black women come into play?
Observation.
Because growing up, I don't know about you. Growing up, white girls were the girls that we would smut out. You didn't do that to black
people. People always feel like when a black man makes it, he gets a white woman. That's been,
Kanye West said it himself.
I wasn't from Queens, and I went to Hampton University. Like, there wasn't too many white women. Like,
yeah.
You know, growing up, and my mom and pop, listen, like, automatically, you're black, you're going to stay with black. That's how I was raised.
And growing up, the hoes in the hood was the white girls. The white girls that wanted to hang around the black guys.
Charlamagne, this is a male privilege moment,
too. But I'm just saying.
That's called all white girls.
Just my whole life, I never, is there certain things, black women were here.
That's what we seen on TV.
White women were here. Like,
right? But you know what, and that's interesting. Really. As far as treating us, you know, treating white women better, I think that there's a space at times that is made to engage them and hear them out, which is why somebody, there's just white female privilege. They're particularly a good-looking, quote-unquote, white woman like Tomi has. And so if she looks...
She's okay.
She's not what beautiful is to me, and I certainly know that I'm not what beautiful is to her, and that's totally fine. But I know that she exists in a world where she is treated as a very pretty woman. If she were 300 pounds with bad acne, she probably would not have been introduced to you. She wouldn't have been introduced to Trevor Noah. And she wouldn't have blown up in the way that she did.
She wouldn't be on the blaze.
She wouldn't be on the blaze. She would not be the face of anything, right? But just being willing to have that conversation with her, like, this isn't the first time that black women have really come for you on Twitter. And again, yes, you've had me on your show. I reached out to you about something in particular. I hope we get a second to talk about that,
mm-hmm.
about being on the show. You've been respectful to me. To be fair, I'm already an industry person. You know what I mean? I'm easier to talk to. People perceive me a little bit differently than they do folks like Amber. But
I hate Amber.
We did.
Yeah,
We still talk too. Yeah.
The Black Joy mixtape. I didn't even know
the Black Joy mixtape would love to still talk to Charlamagne. Like,
absolutely.
This is such an opportunity, and I do not take it lightly at all. But I appreciate this so much because, again, your platform reaches the people who we want to activate. The folks who listen to this show are the people who I will help to register to vote or who I will help to turn out to a Say Her Name rally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just such a critical point. And again, it can be all done. People consume politics and culture at the same time, right?
Yeah, they do.
Donald Trump will be on The Apprentice, apparently, doing politics and pop culture from the highest level. Yes. So why not us as well?
I agree.
All right, well, we have more with Jamila Lemieux and Amber Phillips. When we come back, don't go anywhere. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Hey. That was Usher. Caught Up. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Jamila Lemieux and Amber Phillips in the building. Now, Yee?
Okay, so what is it that you wanted to bring up so we make sure we get
that
to
y'all
it?
Spoke to.
Yes, I reached out to Charlamagne after Nick Cannon was on the show.
Nick Cannon?
Yes, because of some of the things he said about Planned Parenthood and black genocide. And I know that you've had other guests on this show, I'm not even going to call them out by name, who also speak to that same way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dangerous. So as somebody he talked about Planned Parenthood being black genocide, particularly about abortion.
Think about all the stuff they did with Planned Parenthood and all of that type of stuff. That type of stuff is to take our community and forget gentrification. It's real. It's real genocide, and it's been like that for years. This system is not built for us.
I am of the belief that it is incredibly important that Black women have access to reproductive health care. Planned Parenthood, which I do not work for them. I've done work with them. I've spoken at some of their conferences. I've been on panels with them.
Mm-hmm.
They provide so many people in our community, men and women, and gender nonconforming people, with access to STD and STI testing, to breast screenings, birth control, condoms, things that people need to have healthy sexual lives. Mm-hmm. And what we know is that the majority of adults of, you know, childbearing age are sexually active.
Right.
Now, I don't expect everybody to share my views on abortion. I understand that that is a moral decision that each individual has a right to make. But when you take a huge platform and you're a huge celebrity and you say something like Planned Parenthood has advocated for Black genocide or represents Black genocide, that's simply not true. And I don't like always deferring to the 3% number, but abortion only represents 3% of the business of Planned Parenthood. Most Planned Parenthood locations do not provide abortions. I don't like saying that number because it also implies that there's something wrong with abortion.
And people also need more access to abortion care, and they should have access to abortion care.
And if we think that, like, there's this myth that abortion is just birth control for irresponsible Black women having a whole bunch of sex.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of things to a lot of people, but most of the people who have abortions are already raising children.
Right.
This is somebody making a decision that for economic reasons, for personal reasons, that they're not interested in bringing another child into the world.
There's women that are married and they're struggling financially and they decide, okay, we don't want to have another child.
Right.
I fundamentally disagree with Black women having abortions.
Why?
I'm just messing with y'all. I just want to see what the reaction is.
But you think nobody yelled at you?
That's gonna be the headline. But also in Nick Cannon saying that Planned Parenthood is supporting Black genocide, what that lands on the ear is that Black women are supporting the killing of our community. And we just know that's not true. Black women are making the best decisions they can with the resources they have. And actually, if Nick Cannon would like to lead a conversation on reproductive health care, we can talk about how there's grown men out here who still don't know how to put on a condom the right
way.
That is way more effective than you saying that we're killing our
grown
community.
Men using the wrong size condoms. Yes, they need magnums.
Quit it.
You know damn well
you don't need that gold wrapper.
I do think condoms are systemically uncomfortable for Black men. They're systemically uncomfortable.
We should do a condom demonstration right now because of that.
But Amber, you know what bothers me though about our community? I feel like when somebody in our community says something that most of us or majority of us don't agree, we attack.
It's attack. Social media calls it.
And I have a problem with that because they might not know. They might not have the information. They might not be educated. So I feel like when they attack, people are scared to say what they really feel, mm-hmm. and you never know what they're feeling. You know,
this is coming from a personal place for Envy.
No, it's not that.
Envy said he agreed with stop and frisk a couple months ago.
I remember.
It was crazy.
I mean, when somebody tries to kill you and you have 4 bullet holes in your car and you're trying to go home to your family, you say things that make you emotional, and that's what it was.
That's one of the things people use to say the Breakfast Club is problematic. Envy agrees with stop and frisk. Charlamagne feels Black women don't have no platforms.
But also think about where those attacks are coming from, right? I think there are some folks who are definitely just popping off to be popping off.
Mm-hmm.
The attacks are coming from people who are also trying to save their own lives.
Right.
There are a lot of people who are not here right now because of stop and frisk, if we're using that example, right? We know Eric Garner is gone.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there are countless, I'm from Columbus, Ohio, Tamir Rice isn't here right now.
Mm.
So the reason why people are coming out and they're saying, hell no, you're not going to say this, is because we're scared. And like you're saying, like, there's two sides to this, right? You want to protect your family too. Mm-hmm. And there are people who are like, we're dealing with this at every side, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have as big a platforms as we need to get the communications right on why our lives are important. So I would see the attacks as a conversation for you to ask, say more.
No, but
why are you?
Right, some people might have been stopped and frisked and had their own personal situations that happened.
Because, I mean, you're talking to somebody that was on both sides. But
right, I'm sure.
And frisked numerous times, and that's been in this situation.
I feel for y'all in New
York. But, you know, the sad thing about it is a lot of the information that you look up online, a lot of it's not true. A lot of it's not accurate. So you think it's true. You think it's accurate. You think it's doing a good thing. And what happened was, me being in the community, doing these talks and doing shows, I would have women that would come up to me who had kids that have been killed from stop and frisk,
mm-hmm.
or teachers that said my students are late because of stop and frisk.
Or people that go to jail because they had a little weed on them.
Yeah, right.
From so it makes you open it up and it makes you think about it and it changes your mind. And it had nothing to do with, oh, they were on envy. But I think a lot of these times, conversations need to be had.
Conversations. Yeah, and a lot of us don't have the information.
Exactly. That's why it's so important to have the conversation with our folks and to keep having these conversations with our folks. Mm-hmm. Like, even back in the day when you had the debates with Malcolm X and James Baldwin, like, you brought more black people and more black intellectuals together so that we can get to the heart of this. That's worth having.
Now more than ever, the call to have politicians on here, to have pundits, you know, and to not be upset. I know, but I'm just saying, like, in addition to that, when somebody calls you out for something that you said, that's not the time to lash out. That's not the time to get mad. It's to do what we're doing right now and to have a dialogue about it.
All right, well, we got more dialogue when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Jamila Lemieux, Amber Phillips, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was No Role Models. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, usually we do the rumors here, but we're pushing the rumors back because we have these lovely ladies joining us from the Fake HU, Jamila Lemieux and Amber Phillips. Now, Charlamagne?
I give everybody the benefit of conversation because I have seen conversations change some people over the years. Like I can look at Lena Dunham. Lena Dunham got that lashing on social media, and she immediately
was reaching out to black and brown people.
I would never. She understands how black women have been excluded from the feminism rhetoric for so long, and she's trying to include them now. Like, I've seen it literally change people over the years. So I give everybody the benefit of the conversation. If they don't change after that, F them. That's how I feel about Tommy, anybody else.
And that's how people feel about you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, I know there certainly are people that I'm like, I'm not going on there. I wouldn't talk to him, you know, which I think is silly because it's like, okay, you disagree with him. If he gives you access to his platform, you use it to say what you got to say. You go home. That does not mean that we're, you know, friends or that it's like,
Would you go on the Blaze then?
I wouldn't go on the Blaze because I don't think there's any value. Whether I win the argument or she talks circles around me, I just feel like nobody's going to really be educated by that. You don't go to the Blaze to watch it because you have an open heart. You know what I mean? It's not even, it's to the right of Fox News.
Right.
You know, I just think all that would happen is that I would get more. That's pretty far right. It's almost like a complete circle. But like, all I would get would be more death threats, more people harassing me, more scrutiny around what I'm doing. I'm more concerned with convincing black people of our own humanity than I am trying to convince white people of our humanity.
Amen. And convincing black people of our power.
Yes.
We have power.
We have power, but we cannot adequately use that power until, for example, our men really come to terms with the ways that black women suffer at the intersection of racism and sexism, how you all can perform that and be complicit in that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just white men that are doing us harm. It's not just domestic violence that's doing us harm.
Right.
It's how we're treated by people who we raise, who we nurture, who we date, mm-hmm. who we love. That's not always fair and equal and just. And so it can be very small. It could be calling us females on Twitter. It could be not listening to us. It could be more, you know, just simply appearing like you're more open to a Tommy than you are to somebody like us. It could be berating little mama until she cries because she's little mama and she's a punchline. It's no big deal. But then you work in media, so you have to think about optics. So yes, I can name a lot of really great interviews you've done since then and times that you've talked with black women and it was dope and it was great. But that's the thing that's in people's memory.
But
you have to work against them. But that's how imagery works.
Right.
So you have to work against that. You can't just be napalm like, I did it 6 years ago. It's no big deal. Forgive me. It's like, forgive me because of my actions since then.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, maybe even bringing her on. Again. She's been back. She's been back. You apologize.
And I'm looking forward to a spot. And we talk about this with my co-host, Jasmine Walker. Have to give her a shout out, the King of the South. About how we need to hold the line that if it's not, liberation just can't be for some black folks, right? If we're not extending this to LGBTQ folks, queer, trans people, women, then it's anti-black. That if we can't incorporate, if we can't bring all of us to justice together, then it's not what we're actually looking for, which is our collective liberation. Everybody got to make it to the other side with us, you know?
I'm with you. I like dealing with women more than men anyway. I do. I'd rather have a bunch of strong women around me than a bunch of guys.
And we appreciate you guys for coming up here.
This
is
a never-ending conversation. Y'all so much. This was great.
And the platform is always open.
Even though you went to Howard, we'll still let you up.
And Amber. This is like a demo for Amber. She don't even know it.
I would look forward to seeing y'all again. I'm ready. Put me at the mentorship, whatever you need. There's a bunch of black women behind me who are like, we're there and we're ready and we're on the front lines and they would love to talk to you.
And tell them where they can find you one last time.
Oh, yeah. So I'm Amber J. Phillips online. You can also find me on theblackjoymixtape.com. We're Black Joy Mixtape on Twitter and Instagram. And we would love to hear from y'all.
And Jamila, we appreciate you for joining us, too.
Thank you.
Tell them where they can flirt with you, Jamila. Tell them where they can get me DMs.
My DMs are closed right now. But I'm at Jamila Lemieux on Twitter and Instagram. Please stay tuned for what we're working on at Interactive One. And thank you again for having us.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you. All
thank right. you all.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkeys of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed way.
So like a donkey.
Okay.
Donkey of the Day. The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Hey.
Hi.
Did y'all know that was Tommy Lauren I was talking just now? I didn't know that, did you?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Donkey of the Day for Tuesday, December 13th, goes to 56-year-old David Grisham of Dallas, Texas. Now, David is a leader of a religious fundamentalist group called Repent Amarillo. Now, according to the Dallas Morning News, all right, Pastor David is also the fun police. Okay, he is the guy that will see you having a drink, see you smoking some marijuana, and tell you why you're not going to get in the kingdom of heaven because of it, okay? Old Sharif and Minister Society head pastor, okay? Old sitting on this cooler to keep you fools from drinking this poison head ass. Well, in case you haven't noticed, this is the season. Christmas is right around the corner, and David Grisham decided to take his fun policing to the mall. Why did the fun police decide to raid the mall, you ask? Well, he decided to go and tell kids the true meaning of Christmas. He went and told the kids something they should only be discussing with their parents or something they should find out on their own. Let's hear it.
Folks, my name is Pastor David. Kids, I wanted to tell you today that there is no such thing as Santa Claus.
What?
Santa Claus does not exist. The Christmas season is about Jesus. The man you're going to see today is just a man in a suit dressed up like Santa, but Santa does not exist. And parents, y'all need to stop lying to your children and telling them that Santa Claus is real when in fact he's not.
Now, Andy is devastated because he had no idea.
Now, let's be clear. I agree with everything David Grisham said, okay? I grew up a Jehovah's Witness, never celebrated holidays. My wife is all into Christmas, so yes, we celebrated in my house, but won't no fat white man get no credit for all my hard work.
Santa's real.
Okay? My daughter is fully aware that Santa Claus ain't real, and she
Santa
ain't.
Is real.
All right? But daddy and mama's work ethic is real. I do agree that, you know, when you tell kids about Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, God and Jesus, and then turn around and tell them all the other entities are fake, but God and Jesus are real, your kid has no reason to believe you. Oh, word pops. Oh, word moms. All the characters of my childhood are a lie, but God and Jesus real. Oh, word. Santa Claus fake, but God real. And by the way, when your kids find out wrestling fake too, man, please, okay? You catch hell trying to convince them God real. But David, Pastor David, let kids have their fun. Leave people the hell alone. I am all about telling people the truth, but sometimes you got to let people live their lie. All right, going to see Santa Claus is just a family outing. It's not church. I don't need no preaching. No scriptures need to be said while I'm in line with my kid to see Santa Claus. Not to mention, now I have to have an uncomfortable, impromptu conversation about whether or not Santa Claus is real. How dare you, David Grisham, steal my kid's joy? You had a pastor that stole Christmas. Play David one more time for the people one time, man. Play David.
And Santa is real.
Shut up.
Folks, my name is Pastor David. Kids, I wanted to tell you today that there is no such thing as Santa Claus.
Lie.
Santa Claus does not exist. The Christmas season is about Jesus. The man you're going to see today is just a man in a suit dressed up like Santa, but Santa does not exist. And parents, y'all need to stop lying to your children and telling them that Santa Claus is real when in fact he's not.
Leave. Well, the kids listening now, they now know too.
No, that's a lie. Santa is real.
Leave people the hell alone, David. How would you feel if somebody ran up on you and told you Jesus not real? Imagine you're a pastor. Imagine somebody walked up in your church, your congregation, telling your congregation that Jesus not real. What if they walked in your church and told you that Jesus never walked on water, that he never turned water into wine, and he was never the Son of God because he didn't exist? How would that make you feel, David? Whoa, what if somebody walked into your church and told your congregation in Dallas, Texas, that Jesus was real, but he was really black? Whoa, you've been lying to your congregation, David. Got a picture of a white Jesus in your church. What if somebody walked into your congregation and pointed at that pic of white Jesus and said, that is a lie. Jesus is black. He was a carpenter. And Yeezy laid beats. Overflow the Holy Ghost. Get the hell up out your seats. Preach. How would that make you feel, David? Look, this story reminds me of a great quote I love listening to. The quote is, I love listening to lies when I know the truth. This is how all kids should feel about Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, wrestling. But it's nobody's place to tell you Santa doesn't exist except your parents. Or it's just something you simply grow out of. Mind your business, fun police David Grisham. Please give him the sweet sounds of the Hamiltones one time.
You are the donkey of the day. You are the donkey of the day. The day he hung.
Santa is real. To all the kids listening, don't listen to Uncle Charlotte. He was joking. Santa is absolutely positively real. And make sure, kids, if you're good and your grades are good and you do the right thing, Santa will leave a bunch of gifts under the Christmas
tree.
What if
you're naughty
and you still get gifts? What does that mean?
Well, I don't know what that means.
You
but
buck the system.
Santa is real.
You ain't never seen a reindeer in real life, but you gonna tell your kids it's flying reindeer out there.
And there's the elves on the shelves are real. They move
what if you don't
magically
have a chimney?
Every
Rudolph
night.
Did cocaine. That's why his nose was always red.
And how does Santa get in the house?
All right, how
it's
about
all
that,
magical.
Kids?
It's all magical, but Santa
you
is
ain't
real.
Even got no damn chimney. But you lying. You live
it's
in the project.
All magical.
Listen, this is the one thing I will say. I'm just saying, it's cruel. When you live in the project, you live in the hood, and your little project kid writes a little Santa Claus list for Christmas, and you can't get him nothing on that list. That's just cruel and unusual punishment. Then you grow up to hate all fat white people. Now you wonder how racism starts? Boom, Santa Claus.
Santa is real, is magical. He comes up the garbage compactor, whatever it may take.
The garbage compactor?
Whatever it takes.
To the radiator.
Wow. To the radiator, whatever.
Wow.
It's magic, kids.
Wow.
Wow. Santa does exist,
wow.
Okay? So if you're listening in the car,
wow.
Little ones, don't listen to Uncle Sharla.
Don't listen to me. I'm the one giving. I told y'all to have y'all fun. Let them kids believe they lie, but I'm just telling you.
Well, for the kids listening, he didn't mean that it was a lie.
All right.
Because you basically just did the same thing the pastor did.
Yeah.
I disagreed with him. I just don't, you know, I mind my business. I just tell you the truth. You want to know the real truth? Santa Claus doesn't exist.
It does exist. He does exist. All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today.
Listen, I grew up Jehovah's Witness, though, right? So at what point do you stop believing in Santa Claus? Do your parents tell you, or do you just something you grow out of?
All right, guys, if you're listening and you have little kids in the car, this is going to be a spoiler alert, so I would suggest you turn the volume down
it's
a little bit.
It's too late now.
No, because Santa does exist.
Okay.
All right, good. Now, what's the question?
Do you grow out of, you know, believing in Santa Claus, or do your parents at some point tell you that Santa's not real?
Okay, well, 800-585-1051. If you have kids, when do you tell them that? Turn the radio. Turn the radio if you got kids in the car.
By the way, if your porn is a franchise, you ain't got no choice but to tell them Santa Claus ain't real.
When do you tell your kids?
That's cruel and unusual punishment to have your kid write out this Christmas list knowing you can't get him what he wants.
Or you can tell them, you must have been bad.
See, that's even more.
That's even worse.
You must have been having some bad thoughts.
When do you tell your kids Santa doesn't exist? 800-585-1051. Do you let them find out or do you tell them yourself? 800-585-1051. I told my kids after they found out. They found out when 2 years ago.
Man, shut up. Your kids
2 years ago.
Some of them already
believe in you. All right.
They believe in me. They believe in me 130%. But
plus, everyone credit for all the presents he buys.
No, I don't. I absolutely don't. Santa was the one that was buying all the presents for years. And then they found out
why
from
would you
kids
do
to
that?
School. Because it's fun. It's magical. They have something to look forward to for Christmas. They believe in the spirit. They thought they heard reindeers. It's magical. It's fun. It's the Christmas season, you jerk.
Shut up, dancer.
800-585-1051.
He's like Tinkerbell.
800-585-1051. Call us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was 50 in the club. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you have kids in the car, we're talking Santa, so you might want to lower the volume a little bit. So Charlamagne believes in telling kids that there is no Santa. He wants to be the fun police.
That's not true. I gave Donkey of the Day to this pastor named David Grisham in Texas because he walked into a mall and did this.
Folks, my name is Pastor David. Kids, I wanted to tell you today that there is no such thing as Santa Claus. Santa Claus does not exist. The Christmas season is about Jesus. The man you're going to see today is just a man in a suit dressed up like Santa, but Santa does not exist. And parents, y'all need to stop lying to your children and telling them that Santa Claus is real when in fact he's not.
Yeah, but then out of it, you told everybody how there was no Santa. So you
I agree with David, but you know, I feel like the conversations about Santa Claus and Tooth Fairy and Easter Bunny are conversations that should come from the parents the same way you should have sex conversations with your kids. Nobody else should be having those conversations with your children. You should be the first to tell them Santa Claus doesn't exist.
I think you feel like that because you didn't believe in Santa as a kid, man.
I grew up Jehovah's Witness.
See, that's the reason you feel that way.
I didn't celebrate
magic
holidays
in your life.
I mean, I do now because, you know, my wife is into Christmas and my daughters are into it. But my daughter is fully aware that there's no fat white man coming down no chimney because we don't got no damn chimney. Okay. Oh, we do have a chimney, actually. There's no fat white man who is giving us gifts.
Well, my kids believe that there's a Santa Claus. They will believe until somebody tells them any different. The smile of their face that they really believe that a magical guy came down the chimney and reindeers came and they leave and make cookies for him and leave milk and just to see the smiles on their faces. They're gonna believe until
they want his gifts. Yee, when did you find out that Santa
was
real?
My parents never made me think Santa was real. It was never a question. I always knew it was fake.
See, that's real. No, but you had fun though.
She
never been to Disney World. Santa, her parents didn't love her at all.
Santa was never part of the equation. I just would tell my parents what I want.
See?
And sometimes I would get
it. That's not fun.
And sometimes I didn't, but they never made me say, oh, look what Santa
left.
So
you never got up in the middle of the night and seen if Santa was there?
We were allowed to open our gifts at midnight, and we would stay up late to open our gifts, but I knew they were from my parents. We would sit there.
You know what's not fun? Being from a poor and disenfranchised community. And being a parent that can't afford your kids' gifts, so you got your kids believing this lie, and they write out this Christmas list and can't get nothing on that list because the parents can't afford it. Then
we
what
never
type
even
of Santa
made a
Claus
list. I was allowed to pick one thing I wanted every year.
There you go, one thing. We had Christmas in Queens.
I'm pointing this franchise. I can't get nothing. Okay?
I was allowed to pick one thing.
Well, you can pick one thing.
You want to know the real meaning of Christmas, kids? This is the true story. Rudolph did cocaine. That's why his nose was always red. The elves were all illegal Mexicans that Donald Trump wants deported. And Santa Claus is an OG blood. And the reason he's never visited you is because he doesn't come to Crip neighborhoods. That's why he wears all red.
All right,
and if you want him to come to your hood, call him Santa Blas.
Shut up. Hello, who's this?
Natalie.
Hey, Natalie. You have a 10-year-old?
Yes, sir.
They believe in Santa?
Yes, sir.
Isn't it such a magical thing?
Why are you calling him, sir? You see them grades coming in on
him?
Shut up. Yeah, her grades
is A1.
You
said what?
I said her grades is A1.
No, not about her grade. No, he said, never mind. Why do your kids still believe in Santa?
Oh, because I used to believe in Santa until it got spoiled for me. It's like a tradition.
Isn't it so magical and so nice?
Yeah, you keep the innocence alive, you know what I'm saying? And then eventually you got to tell them the truth. But, you know, until she doesn't believe it anymore, why spoil it?
Exactly. Thank you, Mama. Hello, who's this?
Hi, good morning.
Hey, what's
your name?
Sean. Hey, Sean. Now, you got a 12-year-old that still believes in Santa?
Yeah, he does. And, I want to tell him there's no Santa. His dad said no. Let him just figure it out.
Yeah, let him figure it out. Let that that whole run downstairs, or if you live in an apartment, run to the room to see that Christmas tree. That's magical. Believing in Santa and the elf or the shelf moving.
I don't see what's the difference, though. Like, what's the difference between telling your kids you bought the gifts and Santa bought them? Like, why give somebody else the credit for your hard work?
I kind of agree with that. My biggest concern is that he'll be 13 in March. I don't want him going to school after Christmas break telling all his little homies what Santa got him for Christmas.
And
they clown
him. Right. And I'm sure all the kids told him Santa's not real.
Right.
You gonna get your boy beat up. Your boy go to school talking about he's 13 years old talking about Santa Claus.
He's gonna get his ass kicked.
Okay.
Stop it.
My daughter believed it until she was 13 as well. But let me tell you what you do. Where do you live?
Detroit.
All right, this is what you do. You go inside.
Santa Claus ain't been to Detroit in years.
Shut up.
Why Santa Claus took mommy and daddy job then when the car company shut
you get
down?
Shut up.
Oh, stop
Santa,
it.
Santa ain't bring back the
shut
car
up.
Companies.
Santa, what you doing?
They back. Detroit way nicer now.
You know, you get a neighbor to ring your doorbell, And everybody's going to look at each other and be like, oh my gosh, it's Santa. And then let the kid run to the door and he's really going to believe it's Santa.
He better call Becky with the good hair.
That was Beyonce with Sorry. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, we're talking Santa this morning. So if you got little kids in the car, you might want to turn it down a little bit. Now, Charlamagne gave Donkey of the Day to who, Charlamagne?
His pastor named David Grisham. He walked into a mall and did this.
Folks, my name is Pastor David. Kids, I wanted to tell you today that there is no such thing as Santa Claus. Santa Claus does not exist. The Christmas season is about Jesus. The man you're going to see today is just a man in a suit dressed up like Santa, but Santa does not exist. And parents, y'all need to stop lying to your children and telling them that Santa Claus is real when in fact he's not.
Now, don't get me wrong. I totally agree with a lot of the things David Grisham says. I feel like if you tell your kids about the Easter Bunny and Santa and the Tooth Fairy and God and Jesus at the same time and then tell them all those other characters are fake and try to tell them God and Jesus is real, they'd be looking at you like, why should I believe you? But I don't think it's his place to be telling those kids that Santa ain't real. That's something a parent should be doing.
Well, the kids are going to find out in school at some point.
Well, let them find out, man. It's like the whole thing about Christmas and believing in something, it's just that whole magic and you're waiting for Christmas.
Why can't you believe in your parents?
Yeah, there you go. I need my kids to believe in me.
And why do my kids believe in me regardless?
Some of y'all got y'all kids believing in Santa Claus, but the jig is up when your kid catch you showing Santa with that mouth dude when daddy not home. Oh, mommy, that's why I didn't get what I want for Christmas, because your head game is
trash. And then you're going to want some strange people buying your kids presents?
What's wrong with y'all? Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Eric from Houston.
Hey, man, what do you think about Santa and the kids, bro?
Man, I think it is definitely up to the parents to make sure that kids understand the importance of Christmas and the true meaning. But definitely, I think it's wrong for anybody to take upon themselves to try to ruin the experience for another person's child.
All right, you know, I understand what he meant,
but it's definitely wrong to try to ruin that experience. My 10-year-old daughter and 4-year-old son both know the true meaning. Now, my daughter, she's getting to that stage where she's kind of thinking maybe it's not as real as we think, but they still enjoy the experience. The elf on the
Absolutely.
Shelf and things like that. It's fun. It's a fun thing to do. But it's for parents.
Donald Trump going to deport that elf as soon as he find out the elf's from Mexico.
One day your kids will tell you, you know Santa's not real, right? It's enough. The gig is up.
Well, hello, who's this?
This is Pastor T.L. Franklin.
Hey, Pastor, how's it going, man?
Uh-oh.
Man, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Now, you tell your grandkids that Santa exists, correct?
I do, and I told my daughters, too.
That's right. Tell them why.
Because it's not if he exists or not, but who Santa is. And so Santa can be the person that puts the gifts under the tree. They don't just appear. So there is a Santa. Mm.
Shut up.
I used to always
That's
find...
That's a pastor, man. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, why would you say that? What is wrong with you?
You just
told the pastor to shut up.
Pastor, can you pray for us right now, man?
You know I will.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Father God, we thank you, Lord. We praise you. We lift you up. We love, magnify your holy name. Forgive us of our sins. And dear Lord, we ask now for divine power and divine blessings upon everybody that's on this air. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Pastor, can I ask you one question?
Yes, sir.
How many abortions you paid for in the church?
What's wrong with you, man?
Oh, my gosh. You're disrespectful this morning. This is just next level.
Goodness
this is too
gracious.
Much. And I just want to say one final thing about Christmas and Santa and all of that. The other problem was that I always used to find my present before my parents wrapped it. I will always search the house and find me and my brother.
Nosy ass little kid.
Y'all didn't find your gifts before?
How many times you catch your parents having sex all the time?
None.
Yeah,
ever.
Right.
They probably wasn't.
Oh.
But I'm telling you, me and my brother will always find our presents and we would know what they were and be like, oh, see what I got. And sometimes they were wrapped already and we would unwrap them and then wrap them back.
Y'all out.
Nosy. You never did that?
No.
My parents always hid the base in the car.
So you knew where it was.
I mean, but I wasn't going out there by myself or in the basement, which was dark and just scary. I wasn't going down there.
People listening to this saying, y'all were some privileged people. Your parents had cars in basements? Like, Jesus Christ.
A lot of people's parents have cars.
Listen, the moral of the story.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. How do you get places?
The moral of the story is, I love listening to lies when I know the truth. Tell your kids the true meaning of Christmas, okay? Let them know that Rudolph did cocaine. That's why his nose was always red. Let them know the elves were all illegal Mexicans that Donald Trump once deported. Let them know that Santa Claus is an OG blood, and the reason he's never visited you is because y'all live in a Crip neighborhood, and he doesn't visit anybody who doesn't call him Santa Blas.
My goodness.
Amen.
All right, the moral of the story is let those kids enjoy Christmas, enjoy the holidays, and there's nothing magical, nothing better than that kid's smile, that kid's face, that kid's so happy believing that Santa's there dropping off them gifts. Now, Yee.
Yes.
We got rumors on the way?
Whoo, well, 50 Cent is telling somebody to suck his D, and we'll tell you why.
Every now and then you got to do that. Keep
all
balancing
right.
the universe.
Also, Party Next Door talks about issues with Jeremiah.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
God, we are The Breakfast Club.
Listen, I just want to say salute to Pastor T.L. Franklin, who called in.
Oh.
He called
Yuck.
In. And he was giving his thoughts
Excuse
on
you.
Whether you should tell Santa he's real or not.
Well, you should tell the kids if Santa's real or not.
Yeah, I told the pastor to shut up. And I am 2N on Twitter reminding me that I don't want to get a flaming butthole. So I just want to tell the pastor, you know, I don't know what I want to tell the pastor.
Say you're sorry.
So you're only sorry for
Say
your own personal benefit.
Yes, I don't want this to happen to me.
They won't be able to sit down because of the burning in their butthole. He's got a fire. He's got a flame coming out of his butthole. God's going to have a flame coming out of your butthole. If you thought that AIDS was bad, you ain't seen nothing yet until you see the flaming butthole. I'm lightning bug.
So please, Pastor Tell Franklin, no lightning bugs for Charlemagne, okay? I hope I didn't offend you this morning.
You need a flaming butthole.
He definitely offended him.
Yeah, you did. He should flame your butthole.
I apologize
right
for asking the pastor how many abortions he had, but I want to apologize for telling him to shut up. All right?
So you're apologizing for both?
No, not the shut up part.
You're not apologizing for telling the pastor to shut up?
Why did you even tell him to shut up?
I didn't agree with his rhetoric.
He didn't even say anything.
Yes, he was talking. I heard him. I ain't crazy. Don't act like I got blonde hair.
What did he say that was bad? That he needed to shut up? Because we did tell people to call
him. He said Santa Claus is who you imagine it to be. So he can be whoever you want it to be. All of us are Santa.
And that's why he should shut
Something
up.
Something stupid.
You need a burning butthole.
I don't want a burning butthole. That's the moral of the story. The moral of the story is Charlamagne does not want a burning butthole.
You need a burning butthole.
God knows my heart. He knows my butthole. I don't want my butthole to burn.
Or do you?
All right. Well, let's get to the rumors, man. Let's talk Party Next Door.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it.
Well, Party Next Door has come forward and addressed what happened with Jeremiah. As we know, Jeremiah is no longer on the Summer's Over tour. They had some issues behind the scenes with the two of them, and that actually ended up on stage. Here's what Party Next Door had to say.
So I appreciate everybody filling up this room and staying in this room and not refunding your ticket because you want to see a real person. Shout out to you. I might not have the most hits in the game. I might not sing the best falsetto. I might not sing the best just like everybody else. Anybody who knows I'm a real person, I don't have time for any of the fake shit.
So in other words, there was the quote-unquote fake Jeremiah that came out and performed in Houston. He's trying to say at least he's real.
Party, you and Jeremiah just fight already, all right? Catch each other's fade, get back on the tour, and get that money, man.
All right, 50 Cent is not happy that Power was not nominated for a Golden Globe. It was not on the list of Golden Globe nominations. And you know 50 is not going to keep quiet about that. Mm-hmm. He put up a picture on Instagram and said, Golden Globe can suck a... Okay. I accept my series Power was not intended to be a signature show for the network, but it is the highest rated show. I know my audience very well. I'm done promoting this outside of contractual obligations. Season 4, Kanan must die. I got other ish to do.
Power was dope. Power should have been nominated for something, like a
but
drama.
But he shouldn't not be on the show and not do his contractual obligations regardless of the award. Do your thing.
Like, why is he taking it out on the show?
Yeah, sure. People love that show. Forget an award. Don't do that. All right, J. Cole. His producer, Elite, actually sat down with Complex and talked about the album For Your Eyes Only. And he talked about the song Neighbors. Now listen to a part of that song.
Welcome to the shelter, this is pure. We'll help you if you felt too insecure to be the star you always knew you were. Wait, I think police is at the door.
Okay, the neighbors think I'm selling dope. I guess the neighbors think I'm selling dope.
Now, the song was listed as inspired by true events in the liner notes. And according to Elite, J. Cole rented out a house in North Carolina. It was like a creative workspace for all the Dreamville artists and producers. They called it The Shelter, and a lot of the album was recorded there. It was a studio and a basement in the woods, but it's in the suburbs of a wealthy neighborhood in North Carolina, so there's a lot of people coming in and out of the house, mostly African Americans, Ubers every once in a while. They're sitting outside, smoke a little bit. So the neighbors actually ended up telling the police that they were growing weed or selling drugs out of the house. And then there was an investigation, helicopters, a SWAT team, weapons, broke down the door, searched the whole house. Nobody was there when it happened. They came back from lunch and saw the SWAT team busting down the door.
I've listened to that album a few times because J. Cole can actually rap his ass off, so I was trying to figure out why I wasn't really feeling it. And it's the production. The production is like it's the windshield wipers are going, but it's not raining. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know how, like, you know, you're on a flight and you really want to get to where you're going, but the plane is delayed on the runway and you know it's going to take off and you're going to get to where you're going, but you just don't know when. That's how that album feels.
Maybe it's an album that'll grow on you.
Maybe.
Also.
Maybe.
All right, Kanye. According to Rick Ross, Kanye is just a great actor. Here's what he had to say during an appearance in New York.
One time for Yeezy. My homie a genius. And for everybody who thought he was wigging out, he played y'all.
We knew that already, though.
We don't know that, okay? Because Kanye's actually in New York, and he's interviewing psychiatrists to add to his West Coast team.
Drop on the Clues Bombs for Kanye West out here, you know, stealing A-Town's whole style.
Oh,
a lot
it.
Of A-Town appropriation going on. We call it Kanye K-Town now.
He does look like A-Town a little bit, but is
K-Town.
Him and Ross got a problem? Oh, no. I don't know.
I don't know anything about that.
I'm just asking.
Y'all see Kanye out and about in New York? Yell at him. Say, K-Town!
Don't you do that.
Now, Mary J. Blige is having even more issues with her estranged husband. she is filing new documents. She's saying that Kandu refuses to return a Grammy and other achievement awards that she has and a few luxury vehicles that's leased under her company. He has three cars right now, a Range Rover he was supposed to return in February, two Mercedes, and she says she wants the C300. He can keep the SL550.
And Kendu can't get nothing?
And she's saying he can keep the car, one of the cars.
The C300.
The other one, the leases
two. I need two.
That's the small Benz. That's probably for his daughter.
Yeah, she's going to keep that.
She's not going to drive that. That's the small Benz. That's probably for his daughter.
And he's supposed to keep the SL550. But anyway, she also says that he actually fleeced her out of $420,000 in business expenses that had nothing to do with business.
How much?
$420,000. Mm. That's not chump change.
No, not at all.
All right.
So what she want him to have?
What do you mean?
Kendu got to get something, man.
No, nobody's saying he's not getting anything. Oh. She's just saying there's three cars. One of them was supposed to be returned under her company. He's not working for the company anymore.
I do believe that Kendu has to be respectful because that is the queen of hip-hop soul, Mary J. Blige.
And she's saying there's two cars after that. You keep one, I keep one. And then the $420,000, I don't know, $420,000 that you said were business expenses that weren't.
He can't have a Grammy, though.
No, why should he have her Grammys?
He was the manager. Don't managers get Grammys, too?
No.
Don't the person who got the Grammy get the Grammy?
Well, they should have gave two. Why the Grammys so stingy?
His name's not on it.
BET Awards would have gave everybody in the camp one. Why Grammys?
No, they wouldn't have.
See, that's why you shouldn't even attend the Grammys.
They only give one?
They go where you celebrate.
I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
When they tolerate you, they give you one Grammy. Here, nigga, take it.
Well, they do that to BET Awards, too.
No, they don't.
And the Soul Train Awards, too. Mm-hmm. All right, well, shout to Revolt. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Everybody
is it
going
to be a Revolt Awards?
Never. No budget.
I don't think so.
You know how many vacations that Revolt people have to take before Revolt to have an award show?
Oh, my God. All right. The People's Choice.
Cassie got bags. There will not be no Revolt show as long as Cassie going to get Christmas presents.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
Okay.
People's Choice mixes next. You want to hear something at DJ Envy? It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.